All right, I want you to take your Bible tonight with me, please, and turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 1 tonight. 2 Timothy chapter number 1 tonight. I want to change gears just a little bit tonight in the service and go a little different direction tonight. And I want you to look with me, 2 Timothy chapter 1, and I want to give you a few things from the Word of God tonight. I felt like the Lord had this on my heart, and I thought, maybe not, but it does seem like God wants me to go that direction, so we'll do that tonight. A little different message for revival meeting, but yet I do believe tonight that God would be pleased if I go this direction. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verses 1 through 6, and I want to read tonight those verses, and then I want to bring a message tonight from there. I want to get you to pray. I'm actually going to leave tonight right after we get done, and I'm going to drive back home. My wife and daughter, of course, going with me tonight. And we're going to go back home, and I've got a meeting in the morning I have to be at. And so I've got to be there. And then tomorrow, oh Lord willing, be coming back, preaching tomorrow night. And then I have a young boy in my church who was diagnosed with cancer when he was 11 years old. Actually, the cancer was in his muscles, and the cancer is one of the most aggressive, fastest-moving cancers you could possibly have. And that was 2 years ago, and this young man for the last 2 years has been cancer-free. God had touched him, and they went through chemotherapy, lost all his hair, and God had honored the doctor's work, and he'd been out of the woods. Well, I got a call from his family today, and they found something else right beside of the bed of the cancer that was there. He's going back into surgery Friday morning, and they said that this is right beside of where the other cancer was. And the doctors at Baptist Hospital in Winston-Salem are pretty convinced or feel pretty strongly that whatever's going on is very aggressive in his leg again. And so I want you to remember him in prayer. His name's Timmy. He's 13 now. And you pray for him and his family. So I may come in and preach tomorrow night, then head back out again tomorrow night, drive back to North Carolina, and be there at Baptist Hospital in Winston possibly on Friday morning, and then drive back down Friday night, then leave Friday night after service, go back home so I can get a day of rest before I preach Sunday, and then head to a meeting on Monday. So you pray. I'm going to put some miles on my truck. And so you pray. But anyway, I may have an associate pastor there Friday. And problem is our church, we have two guys on staff with me, but one of them is in Pennsylvania with our senior adults in a meeting, taking them up. So he's out of town. My secretary is with that group out of town. My associate pastor is in town doing everything for me while I'm gone, but he can't be at two places. And he also has cancer and just had surgery, 34 years old. And he's got to go back to find out what kind of treatment they're going to do on him Friday while all this is going on. So anyway, you can see and that I need you to pray, we can get everybody to the right place, all right? But I want to say real quickly, God's on the throne, and God's in control. My associate pastor has a tremendous voice, unreal voice to sing, and the cancer they found for the second time in his life was on his vocal cords, wrapped around a vocal cord. And the doctor that did surgery said, there's no way that I'm going to be able to get that cancer around his vocal cord without affecting his singing voice. He said, it'd take a miracle. Well, the doctor came out smiling at us, and he came out and said, fellas, I'm proud of myself. He said, I don't understand it, but we didn't touch his vocal cord one little bit, and said he shouldn't lose any kind of motion in his voice whatsoever, and so we thank God for that. Amen? They said they got all of it. He's going to be fine, but he's just got to recover. So you pray, and I don't know how it is down in South Carolina, but I believe that the devil hates God's people. Amen? And I'm glad, thank God, we're going to a place. Hallelujah, where we don't have to worry about any more of that cancer word and sickness, and I don't have to deal with families anymore when their little ones go through that. Thank God there is a land that's fairer than day. Amen? And I'm glad we're going there. Are you at 2 Timothy chapter 1 tonight? If you are, let's stand together. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. I want you to look, if you would, at verses 1 through 6 tonight. And I want to read a few verses to you. And then I want to preach this thought to you. God actually gave me this a little bit a few weeks ago, about a week ago, as I prepared it even for a day of Mother's Day. But yet, the message is not leaning toward that. I believe it can help us for any time of the year. The Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Now stop just a moment. Look at me just a second. Who he's literally talking to here is what he calls his son in the faith. He is admonishing Timothy, which is going to be that one that's going to follow after the Apostle Paul, and is going to do a great work for God. The Apostle Paul was a missionary preacher, but Timothy's going to be a pastor. And Paul is setting things in the life of Timothy and getting ready for Timothy to be used greatly in the things of God. So that's the setup for the chapter. Then look down, if you would, at verse number 5. Here's what Paul says about Timothy's life. He says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which first dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. In other words, Paul's going to lay his hands on him. Paul's going to say, I believe you, God's man for the ministry. And Paul's going to use him to be a blessing to other people as God uses him. Now tonight, I want to focus on verse number 5. And I want to change gears a little bit tonight. How many of you in this building tonight are parents? I want you to lift your hand. How many of you tonight are parents? That's about everybody in this building. How many tonight has a child under 19 years of age? Would you lift your hand right now? And that's still a lot of hands tonight. And most of you know my ministry. About a quarter of it, or a half of it, of all the meetings I'll preach this coming year. It won't be long. I'll go into June and I'll do back-to-back youth conferences for a couple of weeks. And some of you folks that are from somewhere else tonight, I won't mention where, I was picking at you a little while ago. I know how burdened I am to preach to young people, and what my burden is for God to raise up a generation that'll fear Him, that'll serve Him, and Brother David Burrow, that'll take up the mantle like your pastor has, and young men like Brother David and others, and even younger, will take up that mantle and will take that Bible and preach in the old time way and serve God like we're doing tonight. Amen. We need a generation. Brother choir director, one day we're going to need somebody to step up here and lead a choir. Someone to fill our choir. Someone to fill our pulpit. And friend, can I tell you what? The average church I travel to in America is losing its youth ministry. Is losing its young people. We prayed in the last years for God to break our church over young people, what God's doing. And on a Sunday morning and Sunday night, sitting right in front of me, sometime will be 50 to 60 young people sitting in front of me as I preach to them, and a youth choir of about 50 that sing. I'm talking about teenagers that sing. And friend, can I tell you why? Because you've got to get a burden. I like what you're doing with them children. Let them learn what it's like to sing in church, and people amen them, and people encourage them. Because friend, one day, buddy, someone said, that's the future. No, that's your church right now, amen? And we better invest in them. Now, I said all that to say what I want to say tonight. I want to preach with the help of the Lord tonight, and I want every parent to stay with me tonight on what I'm going to preach. I want to preach tonight on this thought, the making of a Timothy. The making of a Timothy. Now, I want you to stay with me tonight. You say, preacher, where are you going with that? Do you realize tonight, go ahead and be seated, do you realize tonight that one of the greatest opportunities you have in your life, one of the greatest blessings God has ever given you in your life, is when God blessed you with the children that you have. When God gave you a child, God blessed you in your life. And God's given you something that He's entrusted to you. Hey, I want to say this tonight. I enjoy a lot of things in my life.
My wife and I have been married 24 years. We've enjoyed that journey. For 9 years of our life, we were married and did not have a child. Those first 9 years, we just had each other, and we grew through that in the ministry. And then after 9 years, God blessed us with a daughter, and it's my only child. She's the only one. And we've had her now, in just a week or so, it'll be 15 years of her life. And last year in June, God did something in my daughter's life that I've been praying that God would do for years. You've got to understand, she's raised in a preacher's home. And Pastor, you know what that's like. And she's around this all the time. She's in church every week of her life. If she's with me, I travel sometime 26 weeks a year, and she's there. And she's with me a lot of those times. And yet, she's always been around it. But I didn't want her just to be around it. I wanted her to get to her and to get on her. Amen. And in June last year, we were having a meeting down in Jonesboro, Georgia. And I was preaching that night, and there's probably about 700-800 people in attendance, and there's probably 400 of them, 500 of them were teenagers. And our young people were sitting to the right of the platform. I was at Dr. Joe Arthur's church holding the meeting, and buddy, it got out of the banks. I mean, God got the blessing. It was one of the most unusual services I'd ever been in my life. And I looked over to my right, and my youth group was just shouting and praising God. Some of them I expected to do that. But I looked over to my right, and there was a little girl crying and had her hands up in the air. And I mean, buddy, she done got doused real good by the Holy Ghost. And I looked over, and it was my daughter. And I mean, buddy, I ain't never seen her act like that. I ain't never seen her get healed. It got so good, we loaded them up in the bus. And we have a trailway bus our teenagers travel in. And we loaded them up in the bus, and we carried them over to the motel. And we tried to get them out of the bus. And for an hour almost, those kids laid in the floor and begged God for revival. And begged God. We couldn't even get them out of the bus. And friend, it's been a year ago, and they still haven't got over it yet. And God is still touching their life. You say, preacher, why do you share that? It's been my burden for God not only to save my daughter, but one day to take her to a place where she could experience the old time power of the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. And I want to say tonight, for every parent in this building tonight, that ought to be your desire. Now here in the Bible, there's a phrase that says that Timothy became what he is because of those that raised him. Doesn't say anything about a father, but it does say about a grandmother and about a mother. My mom is 83 years of age. I want to thank God tonight that I had a mother that raised me on drugs. A lot of people don't say that, but I'm glad she did. You say, preacher, your mama raised you on drugs? Absolutely. She drugged me to church every Sunday morning, drugged me to church every Sunday night, and drugged me to church every Wednesday night. We didn't vote on it. I didn't have no choice. My mama made me go to the house of God. You know what I'm glad of? I'm glad that one of those Sunday nights, when she made me go, I'm glad the Holy Ghost of God came to where I was and grabbed a hold of me, and I got saved by the grace of God. You say, preacher, why do you say that? It was because of a godly heritage or people in my life that made a difference in my life. And I know sometime our children may get away from what we believe and may get away from what we've taught them, but the Bible said when they're old, they will not depart from it. It doesn't mean they won't get away, but what you've instilled in their life will be there to the day they die. Amen. And I believe that. Now, I want to share three things with you tonight out of this chapter that made a difference in Timothy's life. And I want to say this tonight. Every mom and dad in this building ought to realize tonight that we need to make a difference in our children's lives. Amen? Need to make a difference in their life. First of all tonight, I want you to look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 5. Very familiar verse in the Bible. It says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. I looked that word up one time, that unfeigned faith. And what was the connotation? What did it mean? And what it literally meant was, is they had a faith that did not waver. They had a faith that was solid. They had a faith that was good today, but it was also good tomorrow. Let me say it like this. They had a faith that was good on Sunday, but hallelujah, they had a faith that was also good on Monday. Amen? And friend, can I tell you what? Our kids aren't dumb. They pay attention to our lives. And I'm going to tell you this. You might fool the preacher. You might fool people in church. But your kids live with you. They know your life. And they're paying attention to your life. And we've got to be careful that we live the right life in front of them. Amen? So let me say first of all tonight that Timothy's life was made because of his grandmother and his mother's number one commitment. Commitment. They were committed to the things of God. They were committed to the Lord. They were committed to God's work. They were committed to the things of God. And can I say this to you tonight? There is no way whatsoever we can expect our children to be committed to the things of God if you and I are not committed to the things of God. Amen? Our children are watching us. I was telling our church the other week, I'm sure most of you do this as well, but I have a personal Bible study. I read the Word of God when I'm not doing a sermon, but I just read the Bible for my own personal help in my life. And I'm sure you do that as well. If you don't, you should read the Word of God and let God feed you. And most of the time when I read my Bible, I go back to the bedroom or somewhere else where it's quiet, where you can concentrate as you read, and I read by myself. But every now and then, I'll take my Bible and I'll walk into the living room and I'll open up my Bible and I'll read my Bible in the living room. You say, preacher, why? Because I know that my daughter will see me reading my Bible. They say, preacher, what's that got to do with anything? I want her to grow up and realize that her daddy, her preacher, is committed to reading the Word of God. Amen? And can I say this to you tonight? We need to be committed in our lives to the things of God. If we're not committed to the things of God, we cannot expect our children to be committed to the things of God. Amen? If there's anything in our day, Brother Tommy, that I believe is lacking in our day, it's commitment. Amen? It's commitment. I preached in a church the other week, and I was amazed. I preached on Monday through Thursday, and the biggest crowd they had was Wednesday night. And son, on Wednesday night, all their people were in church. But Monday and Tuesday and Thursday, none of them were there. If it wasn't for visitors, it wouldn't hardly been anybody. So being who I am, I got in the pulpit on Wednesday night and I said, every one of you ought to be ashamed. I said, it's a pathetic thing when you have revival at your church and the only night you come is Wednesday night because you feel like you got to and that's responsibility, but you don't go any other time. I said, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. I said, we don't come to church just to fill up a pew because it's our time to go, but hallelujah, we come to God's house because we love Jesus and we want to serve God and we want to be committed to the things of the Lord. Amen. Preacher, you know, I know you and Miss Bobby have been married a long time. My mom and dad were married over 50 years, and my dad went home to be with the Lord. And I look at people who have been married a long time, we have folks in our church. But I'm amazed today in our generation by the lack of commitment. It's amazing to me. Now, I'm one of those preachers, I can't stand for attendance to fall off on Sunday night or Wednesday night. If you come to Calvary and visit on Sunday night our attendance will be 3/4 of what it is on Sunday morning. And I believe in that. Friend, I don't think God saved me to be part-time. I don't think God saved me to stay home and watch a ball game. I don't think God saved me to go to park with family. But friend, if the doors are open at the house of God, I believe I ought to be committed to the things of the Lord. And friend, if we're not committed to it, our children aren't going to be committed to it. Amen. Let me show you how important that is tonight. Watch this. When we let our children believe that we can miss church and we don't go on Sunday night or we don't go to revival, you know what we're saying to our kids? We're saying something else is more important than serving God. Amen. Now, sister, I know you're a staff member here and work in the office out there. I see each day. Listen, I have a staff four besides me full time. Or three besides me. See, Brother Harry, Brother Norman. Yeah, three besides me full time. Have four on staff. I can't even remember stuff anymore. But listen, there's one thing every one of them have to understand. If we have soul winning visitation, they're to be there on that day. If they're having church, they're to be there. If you ain't dead and you ain't in a hospital, I don't want to have to look for you anywhere. If you're on my staff at that church, you better be faithful. And you better be committed. I don't let people work with our young people. We don't like folk teaching Sunday school. Friend, if you're going to practice, if you're going to sing in our choir, you have to be at practice a week before, or you can't even sing in the choir the following week. Why? It's all about commitment. And friend, if we're going to do something for God, we need to be committed to the things of the Lord. Amen. I'm not telling you to do it that way. I'm just telling you the way we do it. And listen, I believe in commitment. How about you? I believe in commitment. Now, there's three things every one of us ought to be committed to. And I had a lady one time told me, said, "Preacher, I think you ought to be committed too," but I don't think she was being nice. Amen. That lady gave me the mully grubs. And by the way, I found out what the mully grubs are because I had a dear brother in the church that his wife, a school teacher, brought me the mully grubs definition. And it's a gripping of the intestines. Amen. Praise God, we've all had the mully grubs, right? A soreness, the sulks. That means you get to sulking. Amen. And a noun, and I like this, a southern U.S. means temper or the colic or grumpiness. Amen. And can I tell you this? I promise you this, I've had the mully grubs several times. Praise God. Matter of fact, I ate at the Beacon today and got the mully grubs. Amen. Preacher, I think I'm going to take a couple days off of that place, man. Hallelujah. I'm telling you what, I like to kill 47 people from the Beacon to getting here. I kid you not. Amen. I won't have, let's taking a break, praise God. Amen. Amen. Hey, understand, we must be committed to the things of God. Now watch this. There are three things every one of us ought to be committed to. Number one is we ought to be committed to the Master. Amen. Hey, can I tell you something? Look at me this minute. Can I give you a statement here I want you to listen to? Don't be committed to your church. Don't be committed to your pastor, but be committed to Jesus. And if you'll be committed to Jesus, you'll be committed to your church, and you'll be committed to the pastor. Understand that our driving force of our life ought to be how much we love the Master. We ought to be committed to the Master. Then secondly, in our day, and I wish there were more of this, we ought to be committed to marriage. And I'm going to tell you what, in our day we're living in today, I have never seen the likes. Honestly, before God, Brother Tommy, in my own church, I have never seen the likes of people's homes in such trouble as I see in my ministry right now in this day. I'm being honest with you. There have been times I've had three or four families in 1 week of my ministry. I'm talking about good families, solid people in church that I've had to sit down with and try my best to help them to get through things, and a whole lot of financial issues and a whole lot of trials and tribulation. And friend, in our day, so many people, and what amazes me today is how many mamas just walk out on their children, how many folk just walk away from their family, how many people just walk away from God and get away from that. Friend, I'm telling you what, I don't know about you, but I'm in this thing for the long haul. Say amen. And can I tell you this? I told my wife one day, I said, she leaves me, I'm going with her. Amen. Hallelujah. She said, no, you're not. I said, I'm going. Hallelujah, I'm going. I got too much Walmart invested in you, praise God. Amen. I told somebody one time, I said, hallelujah, if I die, bury me next to Walmart. My wife comes see me every day. Amen. We need to be committed to the Master. We need to be committed to our marriage. And watch this, we need to be committed to the ministry. Help me now. Need to be committed to the ministry. Boy, what a joy it is to serve God. Can I take a time out a second? What a joy it is to serve God. Now, preacher, I'm not going to lie to you. Sometime I whine, man. Sometimes I do. My wife sometimes, she'll look at me and she'll say, you just need to get over it. You don't want it booked all in meetings, so go preach and be happy. Amen. I tell her, I said, don't be preaching to me. God didn't call you to preach. Amen. But there's some time, preacher, I've been on the road, I think after next week, about 3 weeks in a row, and been going, and sometimes you get tired physically. And if you ain't careful, sometimes you go, oh, Lord, man, I got to load this vehicle up and load this up and go down the road. And don't y'all look at me like y'all flew in here. There's times you got home, and you've worked hard all day, and, man, you're tired, and you love to kick back that old recliner and throw that thing up and grab you some pop, grab you some tater chips or whatever, and sit there. But there's times you say, man, I got to go to the house of God because I'm committed to the things of the Lord. But guess what? Guess what? Once you get there, hallelujah, and the Holy Ghost said, glad to have you, and you come in there, and you grab your guitar, or you get your choir book, or you get your bass, and all of a sudden you forget about all that at home, and you say, hallelujah, I'm getting a chance to do this for Jesus, and what a blessing it is to do it for the Lord. Friend, we ought to be committed to the ministry. Sometimes the only thing keeps you going is the ministry. Amen. Keeps you going. I love it. I don't know what to do, man. Honestly. When I'm not preaching somewhere, I don't know what to do. I go ride the motorcycle, or I go do this and do that, you know. I enjoy all that stuff. But I'm telling you what, I preach so much, man, I don't got word. If I don't go to church, I feel plumb backslid. Amen. I enjoy the ministry. Now, preacher, some places I go, I'll be honest with you, I can't wait till it's done. Now, don't look at me. I'm being honest. Or some places I go in, I wish somebody just get the coffin. I mean, there's some places I go, I thought, under God, somebody smile about something. And you preach and feel like you're about to choke to death. You know what I'm talking about? Preach, you feel like you're about to choke to death, and you can't get a word out, and you feel like you're about to die. Then every now and then I get to get around a pastor like this, and Lord God, all you got to do is say Jesus, and he'll shout, and praise God. And I get in a church where y'all smiling at me, and you act like you're enjoying it, whether you really are or not, and it helps me a little bit. And even if you feel sorry for me, are you glad you enjoyed it one way or other? But hallelujah, it helps to be dedicated. Hey, listen, we need to be committed to the ministry. Amen. Now listen to me. You want to affect your children for the cause of Christ? You stay committed to the ministry. Don't let them see you put other things in front of church. Because I'm telling you what you're doing, you're teaching them by example. They're watching your life. You know what they think? If daddy's down at the NASCAR race on Sunday, if daddy's out on the lake fishing on Sunday, if mama's somewhere at Walmart or shopping or whatever, instead of going to church, you know what our kids are thinking? Our kids are thinking something like this. Well, church must not be that important, because if it were, mama or daddy wouldn't be missing it. Amen. Now listen to me. I'm trying to help you tonight. Hey, I'm so tired of trying to rescue kids all across America. And to be honest with you, don't get quiet on me right here, but the biggest problem is not them kids. I'm just going to tell you straight up. The biggest problem in America is not our young people. It's that crowd raising our young people. You understand? It's people raising our kids today that act like commitment to God is nothing. I mean, friend, there are people that wouldn't think about punching in at work 30 seconds late, but they'll drag in 20 minutes late coming to church. Lack of commitment. But the other Sunday I got so ill, my folk getting ready to hear about it too, buddy. I'm going to wait till I'm just about, I got the mullet grubs and I'm going to preach it. Other week, I stood out between Sunday school and preaching. I watched people come dragging in 10, 15, 20 minutes late to Sunday school. Saw two teachers come in 5 minutes late. Huh? One of them was my teenage class. I walked by her. I said, ma'am, you still teaching Sunday school, aren't you? She said, yeah. I said, you ought to get in your class. Hey, man. Amen. Say, preacher, you ought not act like that. I'm not your pastor. Don't worry about it. You ain't got to deal with that. It's down there. But can I tell you this right now, and I mean this. How can them young people she's going to teach, I expect to be committed when the very people teaching them are not even committed? Help me now. I'm telling you, if we're in leadership, and if we're a mom and dad, we better be committed to the things of God. Amen. Right? You ought to go to church Sunday night? Wednesday night? Church having revival, you ought to be there? You got choir practice, you ought to go? God's giving you a good voice. You ought to not sit out there. You ought to get up here and learn, get in there and sing. Amen. I wish I had a good voice. My wife and daughter can sing. I wish I could. Sometimes they can get me on the right key. And there's a few songs I can sing a little bit of lead with them, but I don't do a lot of singing. I got it in me. I just can't get it out. Be like putting one of them guitars in my hand. I could make some noise, but it wouldn't make no sense. Right? But when I get to heaven, I'm going to have a glorified body. Which means I have a glorified voice. And guess who I'm going to sing with first? Fanny Crosby. I'm going to sing because won't nobody be able to talk about you in heaven. I'm going to see if me and her can go down and sit by the river of life. And I'm going to say, Miss Crosby, if you'll just start her out, I'll jump in. And let's sing that song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. This is my story. This is my story. I'm going to sing that till you get tired of hearing it in heaven. Y'all going to say, what's all that noise down yonder? Oh, that's Brother Chris down there singing with Fanny Crosby. Amen. I won't even get tired of have a glorified voice. Amen. But can I tell you this? Hey, listen. Be committed to the things of God. Our kids are what? I got to hurry. Be committed. Secondly tonight, not only does it make a Timothy when we're committed, but secondly, it makes a Timothy by our conversation. Now, I'm not talking about your talk. I'll get to that in a moment. The Bible talks about the word conversation as being our manner of living. The way we live our life. Did you realize that your children not only watch you on Sunday, but honey, they watch you on Monday through Saturday, and they watch your life every day. Help me now. You know what I think is going to send more children to get out of church or not even get saved sometimes, or ride home from church? Hey, don't go to church and shake the preacher's hand and, brother, we're so glad to see you and all that, or Sister Sally over here or Brother Bobby over here, and you love on them. Then as soon as you get in the car, you talk about that preacher like he's a junkyard dog. You don't like old Sally, so you talk about Sally all the way home. Whole time you think nobody's paying attention but sitting back there in the back seat. It's them youngins and they're listening to you. And you know what they're thinking right there? They're thinking, man, if that's all the salvation, that's all the religion, if that's all my mom and dad has got, it ain't even real. The time they get out of the parking lot at church, I can't wait to get away from it. They watch our conversation, friend. Evidently, Timothy's grandmother and mother had a great conversation. They must have had a good manner of life as they walked in front. I'm amazed, preacher. I know I talked to you some, and of course I know Brother Jackie very well, and I know your son back here in the battle, he said physically, and just to be in the house of God every night like he's been. And then our Brother Jimmy I've met from years gone by. Then you have another son goes to church, I think you said Spartanburg. And then I think you have, where's the daughter at somewhere? That's the daughter of a son-in-law, I'm sorry. But daughter, you know, they're all part of family. But anyway, and you go and you look at those children, what is it, one more, right? Did I leave one out? Is that there of all of them? Has he yet? And I look around them, and basically, I guess, preacher, all of them in some facet serving God. Is that right? Every one of them serving God. Several of them preaching. Now, let me ask you a question. Where do you think that came from? That came from a mom and daddy that not only taught salvation and taught church, but lived it during their lives. Right? Made a difference in their life. If there's one thing in my life that I don't want to do that scares me to death, I don't want to be the instrument that the devil uses to turn my daughter away from church. Can I help you tonight? Be careful. Be careful. The Bible says, but as he which have called you is holy in 1 Peter 1:15, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, the way you live your lives. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Now, I will say this to you tonight. And I won't go any farther with my statement. I would in my church, but this is the pastor here, and I won't go any farther with my statement. Won't you listen to me? I think it's time for our young ladies to have an older example to look at to teach them how to dress, how to look, how to live their lives. And I think there's too many ladies in their 40s and 50s still trying to be teenagers instead of adults, and they're not teaching our young girls how to live their lives, and it's dangerous when we start doing that. Amen. Hey, listen, I think a young woman ought to dress herself in modest apparel. And you know where I think she ought to learn that? From her mama. That's right. I think you ought to learn that at home. Learn how to be a lady. Carry yourself like a lady. You men ought to teach your boys to pull their britches up. Put a belt around their waist. Get a haircut that makes them look like a man. Amen. Now, I know none of that will get you to heaven. None of that will save you. But I'm telling you, we live in a generation today where, my Lord, we can't even tell anymore who the saved are from the lost because everybody's trying to mimic everybody else. You know what church has become today? Honestly, a lot of church has become today nothing more than a social club where people come in. They try to make everybody feel good. They don't want anybody to feel like they're out of place. They want everybody to enjoy it. They won't hurt anybody's feelings. And we become politically correct. And we're building ministries like Joel Osteen that never preach the gospel, never tell anybody how to go to heaven, never tell anybody there's a literal hell they'll go to if they don't get saved. And that's where we've come. And we're raising a generation of kids. Now listen to me. That are watching that life. And they have no idea which way to go. Understand that? Our conversation, the way we live our lives, affects our kids. Amen? The way we live our lives affects our kids. Our children watch us every day. And it affects their lives. Let me say thirdly tonight, the making of a Timothy was not only by commitment, not only by conversation, but then thirdly, we affect our children by our communication. How we use our mouth. Let me give you a Bible verse. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You and I need to be very careful on what we say and how we speak. Now, I don't know about you folks tonight, but if there was ever a good Baptist in the Bible, it would have been Peter. Peter had a lot of zeal for God. But Peter did what I do a whole lot of times. Peter opened up his mouth, then 20 minutes later his brain would come into gear. Can y'all understand that? I don't know about you, but I can understand that. How about you? And see, what we got to understand is in our language and our thought process and what we say, understand tonight that in that time of our life, our kids are listening and they're watching. And understand what comes out of our mouth can affect them. I encourage you, never speak ill of God's men around your children. You might not even agree with the preacher. If you don't, speak to him privately or pray for him. But do not speak bad around your children about God's men. Right? I try my best, preacher. Sometimes my daughter picks up on it. I try my best when I'm talking about church problems and issues. And I try my best. Sometimes she hears them, and I wish she didn't. And my wife, sometimes the best counselor I got, she helps me when I can't talk to anybody else. But I try my best to leave a good taste in her mouth about church. Because if not, she's going to remember her daddy spoke words. And by the way, you can't take your words back. Amen. Now I got you tonight to raise your hand, every one of you that have children tonight. And you know what? I guess it really doesn't matter how old they get, they're always your children. My mother's 83 years old and she'll still call me and fuss at me about stuff like I was 17. I'm being honest. She come hear me preach, it kills her. If I get to preach and holler and scream and sweat and run around, you don't have to do all that to get the message across. And you're going to hurt your voice. I remember a boy died of a heart attack when he was 17. You're going to die of a heart attack if you keep that up. And then my mom will say, and you go do them meetings and you eat too much. And then I'll go to her house and visit her and she'll make a whole chicken pie and 47 biscuits and get mad if I don't eat half the pie and 10 of the biscuits. Right? Anybody got a mama like that? Yeah, that's just a mama. And that's just what it is. Hey, but listen, I want you to understand, hey, we affect our children by the things we say, the way we live our lives, and our commitment to the things of God. I don't know why the Lord had me to preach that night. I don't usually preach in a revival meeting, but I just felt in my heart tonight what God wanted me to preach. And so I learned a long time ago, you better mind God. Let me ask you a question tonight. Are you committed enough to the things of God that your children could speak this about you? There is one thing about my mom and dad. They put Jesus before everything. Huh? Wouldn't it be great if your children gave that testimony about you? Well, there's one thing about my mom and daddy. When it comes to church and serving God, they put Jesus in front of everything. It'd be a good thing to say, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be another good thing to say? Hey, I want to tell you something about my mom and dad. When they're not at church, they still live the same way. Amen?
Preacher, I made up my mind a long time ago. There's a lot of things I may become. Brother David, there's one thing I will never be if God will let me. I don't want to be a hypocrite. Amen. I'll just be honest with you. My wife and daughter tell you, that's why I get in trouble so much. I am what I am everywhere I am. It's not good English, but it'll preach. I mean, I am. I've had people come up and criticize me about riding a motorcycle. It's because I'm a preacher. This old boy come up to me one time. He's going to criticize, oh, I don't know about a preacher riding that motorcycle. That same preacher rode a four-wheeler. You know what I asked him? I said, does two more wheels make you more spiritual than I am? You know? Just try to live my life every day the same. Amen? And I think every one of us could learn from that tonight. You know what Paul said? Paul said, Timothy, I'll tell you why you're going to turn out good. You're going to turn out right because you had a grandmother and you had a mother that lived for God, that loved God, and you had a mother and a grandmother that set a great example for you. Amen? Now, if we could take a second, I want my wife and daughter to sing a song for you. And the reason God put this on my heart, I really believe, is a song my wife wrote. And they sung it Sunday. And I want you to think about this song. Then we'll give the invitation. And we'll let you go to the house. So Wendy, you come on up. And brother, if you can get a mic on the piano. And one right here and turn them up a little bit. I want them to sing this song. And Daniel, a mic reach over there. There's two of them over there. Preacher, you help me out there. I want them to sing this song. I want you to listen to the words of it. And then I want to ask every mom and dad in this building. And by the way, wasn't that some how many of you, raise your hand, your child was up here singing a while ago. Anybody, raise your hand. How many of you, be honest with me, tell me you're proud of them? You're right? I heard them hands go behind. You're proud of them, aren't you? And you know what? It's a good thing you're doing. You got them in the house of God. Amen. They're doing something for Jesus. Amen. But can I tell you something? They're watching you.
Yeah, they are.
They're watching you. Listen to the words of this. My wife wrote it. She's not a professional songwriter. This is something in her heart. She was raised by a godly mama. My wife's dad died when she was 4 years old. And my wife was raised by a godly mother that taught her right. She's a member of my church that we had to move her down because of a stroke. And she's a godly woman. Raised her to read a Bible, do devotions, walk with God. Amen. And when I married my wife, her mama had made sure she stayed pure and she stayed right. Amen. And she's a preacher's wife. That a mama had the greatest. I will ever be indebted to my mother-in-law. Amen. She 4'10", 11 inches tall. Reminds me of a modern-day Granny Clampett. Honestly. Honestly. But I'm going to tell you something. She knows God. Amen. She raised my wife to know God. Amen. My wife put this song down. We'll see if you can relate to the words as a parent. Then we'll give the invitation.
Heroes in our lives, many we don't even know, while the ones we take for granted, we never tell them so. Our families would be broken, frail and incomplete, without the love of a mother. She's the one who can be. She's the one who cares for me, the one who read the Bible as it sat upon her knee. She's made sacrifices, given of her time and love. She doesn't ask for any merit, but her reward comes from above. There are memories we've stored to reclaim as time goes by, from handprints on the walls to the heartache and the cry of the pain a child can feel and the thoughts of such despair. But there's one God has given to be your comfort and to care. She's the one, the one who cares for me, the Jesus sat upon her knee. She's made sacrifices, given up her time and love. She doesn't ask for any merit, but her reward comes from above. Give her flowers while you can. Remember she loves you and holds your hand. Through the good times and the bad, she'll always be there, happy or sad. She's the one, the one who cares for me, the one who read the Bible as it sat upon her knee. She's made sacrifices, given of her time and love. She doesn't ask for any merit, but her reward comes from above. She doesn't ask for any merit, but her reward comes from above.
Amen. Will you stand to your feet tonight, please? Stand to your feet tonight. Now I want to ask you a question this evening. Do you want your kids one day to look back and say, the reason I kept serving God, the reason I stayed in church, the reason I'm living for God now is because I had a mom and I had a dad that loved Jesus and that taught me how to live. Now friend, I'm going to ask you tonight, if you want to be that kind of parent, if you want to be that kind of grandpa and grandma, if you want to be that kind of leader, won't you find you a place tonight and say, oh God, don't let me become the stumbling block that would ever cause my children to turn away from Jesus. While our pianist plays tonight, you mind the Lord. Amen. That's right, there's plenty of room. Just find you a place somewhere if it fills up. You're inside the wall. Don't you want to be a parent that your kids can look at and say, my mom and dad had an influence on my life? I'm convinced tonight, dear church, I would be on my way to heaven if it hadn't been for a praying mom. I'm convinced of it. Sister, if I ain't mistaken playing that piano, you're an only child yourself, right? Won't you thank God for a daddy like Brother Jackie and Mom? Set a good example to you, didn't he? Amen. I taught your dad how much he loves you. What a great example. Thank God we got examples to follow in our lives. Your daddy's ought to pray, God, help me to be an example for my children. Mom's help me to be an example. One that reads the Word of God. Preacher, my burden's family today. I'm telling you, we got to keep the family together. So goes the home, so goes the church. The devil hates our homes. He wants to destroy our kids. Somebody got to stand in the gap. Hallelujah. Well, I love seeing you, Mom, Dad's praying. Some of you weeping, I don't blame you. Nothing in this world more precious than the children God's given you. No matter what age you are, they might even be married. Nothing's more important than what God gave you. Hallelujah. Ought to be committed to them. Ought to have good conversation the way we live our lives. Ought to let our communication be right. Our kids look at us and say, boy, my mom didn't talk right. Hallelujah. I felt a little breeze of glory while I was preaching. Be the perfect will of God. God, help our families tonight. You remember that, Mama? Why are you going back to that seat? Them youngins are looking at you now. Daddy, you remember that? They're watching you. They're watching you. No telling how many in this church tonight, no telling how many in this church tonight have a testimony of a godly heritage. Sister, help yourself. Thank God for a godly heritage. I say hallelujah. Thank God for a godly heritage. Preach on, you listen to this, church. Give me just a second here, and I'm going to head out of here so I can get back home. Listen a second. 7 weeks ago, I was standing on the platform. We'd had a great service, folk in the altar. And I was standing on the platform. Just play that for myself, sisters. I was standing on the platform, and a young man sits with a teenager in the middle. We have a lot of teenagers come to church. Mom and daddies don't even go to church. Don't serve God at all. Some of the kids come through the buses, got saved. Now they become some of my best teenagers. Got this young man sits on the front. His name's John. My wife and daughter know what I'm talking about. About every tie he's got, I either gave him or one of the men in our church. Every suit of clothes he's got, somebody bought him to church. Man, I'm out in a rough family. Old John got called a priest. God dealing with him. I believe God called a priest. God dealing with him. He's serving God, loves Jesus. Other Sunday, he come walking up to the platform, Brother Tommy. When he come walking up to the platform, he handed me a note. I really wish I hadn't read it before I preached. Because when I read it, sometimes when you're crying so much and tears, you can't even hardly read your scripture, much less try to preach. But I opened up the note, and brother, it had very few words on it. And here's what it said on that note. It said, "Preacher, no one's ever loved me like this before." Amen. That's all the note said. I have teenagers come to me across the country. I'll go preach in another church. There'll be young people come to me and say to me, "Preacher, thank you for caring. Thank you for loving me. Nobody else does." Hey, listen. If you're a godly mom and dad, you raise them right. Amen. You're right around. And trust down the road that sweet Holy Ghost will keep them where he needs to keep them. Pastor, you come.
Amen. Well, hallelujah anyway. God's so good, isn't he? I feel like I've been to church.
Amen.
Amen. Preacher, I don't know... anything other than